and
scene
one and two and three.
That's a good one, Joe. Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Everything's good.
Long time listener, first time caller. What's up?
Yeah. Finger guns. Pew pew. All right. So, yeah.
Podcast. So we're not doing a movie this week, but we are movie adjacent. Amanda asked me what movie we're doing tonight, and I started to try and explain what we were going to do, and then I realized I shouldn't explain it because it's terrible to try and explain it. But I'll explain it to you because you were there at the inception of it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I do have an order of operations question for you. So the other day, I tweeted something dumb because I think I have a lot of dumb thoughts. I think it was in the shower, maybe is where I have a lot of dumb thoughts. I thought to myself, "Hey, you know what would be fun?" Because all right, a little bit more backstory. A lot of people were saying like, "Oh, you know." Emma Stone, whatever, she only won because it was like a weak Oscars year. So I don't know where I saw that. It was probably the internet somewhere. And I was like, you know, I don't really want to weigh any validity in that claim, but it would be interesting if we could take that out of the argument and say like, well, was it a weak Oscars year? Or was it like a stacked Oscars year in terms of competition? And let's take the last 10 years of Oscar winners and pit them against each other. And they could fight to the death. And, you know, there can be only one Highlander or whatever. And then that person can get a super Oscar. So we take the last 10 years where the winners for each category and then weigh them against each other. And I think that would be kind of fun. And then you chimed in with that sounds great and all, but I would rather just revisit on the 10th anniversary of a win, whether or not that movie actually should have won, because maybe we were just blinded by, you know, the campaigns and the politics of the day. And we should really look back and see if that movie was actually, worthy of the Oscar that it got, or if we made a whoopsie and we should award it to a different movie. And we decided, hey, those are both good ideas. Maybe we can mix that together and like talk about it on a podcast because nobody else is really going to like give enough attention to this idea.
No, because it's both of these ideas are probably non-starters for a variety of reasons.
I feel like I could convince the Academy to create the Super Oscars, because what you're talking about is you're giving more awards to people and there's more opportunity for advertising potentially on a higher level. But the idea of looking back and going, oh, we were wrong, that artsy movie that we thought was very high-minded turns out to have had no social connection, no like cultural impact over the past 10 years, and we should have given it to this other movie in retrospect. I don't think they're going to do that part.
No. Yeah, see, this is the thing. And with your Super Oscars, they kind of have that in that they have the, you know, the Governor's Ball, Governor Awards, those things.
Is that what that is? I don't know what that is.
Well, that's where they're like, here's your Lifetime Achievement Award person never gave an award to.
I mean, I thought what they normally just do is they wait till like the person's getting old and then they're like, ooh, this last movie of theirs wasn't great, but we should give them the award anyway, like they did with Scorsese in The Departed.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where it's just like, well, does that person deserve that award for the thing they won the award for? Or are they getting that award politically as compensation for the fact that they didn't get an award for something else in a more competitive year?
Yeah.
And those politics play out every year during this process. And there's also the politics of this like three-dimensional chess of like, I'm going to give this movie an award in a different category, but then I'm not going to give it the Best Picture award. I'll reserve that for such and such. And
right, it's like the movies that win like script and maybe like director or something, but they never quite make it to Best Picture.
Yeah. And that's always a criticism that people have is like, so how do you have like a Best Picture that has no corresponding director to it? And sometimes things are nominated for Best Picture that have no director nomination. And that is kind of one of those things that people comment on. And the Best Picture stuff is always politically charged in a rather unique way, because the politics of Best Picture is mainly about promotion and the producers of it more so than, everyone gets a boost when it wins for Best Picture, but you don't specifically get a boost as the lead actor when it wins for Best Picture. you get that from being the best actor.
When you say boost, you're talking about just like you can charge people more money.
Yeah, well, charge people more money. You can also pick the projects that you want. You can
deals, right?
Yeah, you can do you get recognition for that thing that you did that you feel like you deserve recognition for. And that is a complicated thing.
In this industry that is widely acknowledged to be about team effort, one person stands alone and says, "No, I am the reason that that movie was successful and you should give me more control."
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the awards are structured in a way where cooperation is not rewarded. Like there's no best ensemble here, even though there is in, I think the Emmys, but there is no award for being a team player. Quite the opposite. You get your specific award, but a studio needs to take the collective marketing action to decide which awards they're going to try to lobby for someone to get. Because the studio is concerned with how it affects their ability to promote the movie going forwards, especially in the era of home video onwards, where you can then turn it around into something that people will buy or rent. Or
you
demand
put all those little like laurels on top of your cover art.
Oh, so many laurels. none of Hardy's, too many laurels, but they, yeah, I know. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking Blazing Saddles. It is our privilege to extend a laurel and a hearty handshake to our new chair. Mm-hmm. yeah, but we really wanted to break through all of that bureaucracy and say, let's put our cards on the table. Let's have a moment where the glitz and the glamour has died down a little bit, and let's really put our money where our mouth is. Like, let's see if we've got the stones to say, yeah, that best picture winner from a couple of years ago didn't actually deserve it, and then finally right some wrongs, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's the thing that I'm going to say ahead of this. Dan and I are not qualified to weigh in on these things.
First of all, we're not in the Academy.
No.
After this, we probably definitely never will be.
Could you imagine? But maybe
we'll be applauded on the cover of Variety with our bold and brave stances. That they'll say, you know what, this is the new blood that we need to bring into the leadership of the Academy, and they will appoint us to be co-presidents.
I'm not even sure we're going to make it to the wrap. Now, Dan, the main reason why I say this is nobody really cares what we think, number one, except, of course, people listening to this podcast, because that's why they would do such a thing. But also, we don't watch all of the nominated pictures in these categories.
Yeah, I think I voted for the one that I saw, and it didn't win.
So my strategy is always based on, did I hate the things that I did watch from this category?
Mm.
And if that thing won, do I want them to have not won? Do I want to award that to literally anything
else?
So because
mad
I'm so
at
mad
the
at
winner
it.
That you would rather they just not win.
Yes. And that's a very different vibe to bring to an award show. Although
you're not voting for the Democratic candidate, you're voting against the Republican candidate.
Yeah, I'm sending a message to Washington, but sending a message to Hollywood. But it's just how this has to work. And if you read those, Hollywood Reporter does these things where they like ask the Hollywood elite that are voting for these things, the Academy voters, secretly, quote unquote, what it is that they're going to do, and they like divulge their reasoning behind what it is that they're doing for their votes. And if you read those, it's always bananas.
It's always like one time Martin Scorsese letting me cut in front of him at the sandwich shop line, and therefore I'm going for him.
Yeah, they're always intensely personal things that have nothing to do with the movie, at least what winds up being printed in the Hollywood Reporter. I don't know if that goes for everyone else, but the vast majority of the voting body of the Academy Awards doesn't watch all of the Best Picture nominees or all of the other category nominees for everything, because that's just a lot of stuff. But they do vote based on their feelings, and also their feelings extend beyond the actual picture to things like awards and parties and publicity, blah, 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 blah. So with that being said, Dan, would you kindly guide us towards how you would like to approach this?
Well, so here's my question for you in terms of order of operation. My question was going to be, would you like to revise winners before we do the 10-year combined Super Oscars? Or is that opening a can of worms because we would potentially want to revise all of the winners before we would even host the Super Oscars? And that might just be too big. Because initially, in the discussion we had on the internet, you said on the 10-year anniversary of a movie winning, we would revisit whether or not that movie was worthy. If those are the strict rules we're going to stand by, then we only have to revise one movie in our Super Oscars, because 10 years of movies are going against each other. We could only revise the one, the oldest one in the group, before we nominate we pick our winner of the Super Oscars.
Yeah, my specific wording was, I would like an award anniversary show where on the 10th anniversary of every Academy Award, the currently enrolled Academy, meaning not the dead people, gets to confirm the existing winner or pick a new winner from the original nominees. So the constraint there is the original pool of nominees, and they get to pick a new winner from it. And because of the way you structured it, it occurs every decade, not on an anniversary of any kind. Mm. So you'd have...
Oh, okay, I see.
We would have some overlap there. So I feel like it would be unfair to have this occur, to move around the sort of like game board, so to speak, and then have your thing happen every 10 years, because then, you know, if you made it in whatever the window winds up being, then you could potentially win a Super Oscar or be in the pool of Super Oscars if you didn't really even deserve it. It just hasn't had that judgment occur yet. So I would say the Super Oscars would be a separate thing where it would be based on the original winners.
Okay, that makes sense. I really what I was trying to get to is, do you hate Birdman so much that you would like to exclude them from ever potentially even winning a Super Oscar before we have the Super Oscars?
I have no fear. No, there isn't a fiber of my being that believes that anyone would ever award that movie another Academy Award. It is inconceivable to me.
Think of the ongoing cultural impact that Birdman has made.
You mean none? Zero impact?
I mean, none. I mean, it gave Iñárritu a couple more movies, and then I think that's it.
Yeah, it's funny how that worked. Back-to-back movies for Iñárritu, and then all of a sudden, everyone was sick of him. Well, who could envision such a thing?
You don't know. Maybe he's busy doing something. All right. So
one long camera.
Can we also say, for the record, we don't have the time or the energy to get into all of these. You want to just do Best Picture, actor and actress leading and supporting, and you want to throw in maybe director?
I think that's going to take longer than you might think.
Well, it depends on how much explaining we decide to do.
Let's just do Best Picture, because I think that's going to be a can of worms for itself.
Okay. If you just want to start with Best Picture, we can maybe revisit the Super Oscars later.
Yeah,
okay.
We can do the Best Picture Super Oscars to just like do that part, because I feel like that's the, you know, the thing everyone's tuning in for, which is why it's at the end of the show. Do you really want to do a Super Oscars for those other categories?
I mean, at some point, maybe, but I don't obviously have a strong opinion about individual performances, especially given that I haven't seen all of those movies. So
no. Yeah. Okay. That's the tricky part. So I feel like we're going to talk more about all of these if we do this, because we've got 10 years worth of Best Picture nominees to go through.
Sure.
Best Picture winners, because we're only picking from the winner pool.
Okay, let's start there. All right, let's break it down. The winners for the past 10 years for Best Picture, in reverse chronological order: Oppenheimer for 2024, Everything Everywhere All at Once 2023, Coda 2022, Nomadland 2021, Parasite 2020, Green Book 2019, Shape of Water 2018. Moonlight 2017, Spotlight 2016, and Birdman 2015.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we should also mention this, because some people might be looking at the Wikipedia page while you were talking. The award show is a different date from the year of the win. So when Dan was saying 2024,
sure, the movie came out in 2023, but the award was given in 2020. Yeah.
So just so people
like the Super Bowl.
Just so people aren't confused. And so with that being said, for me, I haven't seen all of these. I think the only ones I've seen are Everything Everywhere All at Once and Moonlight and Birdman, unfortunately.
You've seen Parasite. We talked about it, didn't we?
Didn't we
talk about Parasite?
Oh, yeah, we did. I like that.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Shape of Water where the lady has sex with a fish?
No.
I may have seen the whole movie. I know I've seen a lot of it.
I just like that it won because it really adds some variety to the whole thing.
So not to get like overly critical here, but like let's break down because there are certain types of movies that tend to be nominated and win for Best Picture. There's the really serious ones where you feel like you're making a statement about a certain type of culture or people or event in the world. You got your Green Books, your Coda, sort of Nomadland kind of fits in there. Spotlight, of course. You've got your artsy weirdo movies, your Birdman's, your Shape of Water, Everything Everywhere All at Once, maybe a little bit. Maybe Parasite too. And then you've got just overly serious like giant movies like Oppenheimer. So there seems to be a variety of those types of movies within this grouping here. And I wonder personally if revisiting or doing a Super Oscars like this, where you're looking back at the past 10 years, I feel like those movies where we're like, yes, Spotlight was important. I feel like we've already patted ourselves on the back for giving Spotlight the Academy Award that we no longer feel obligated to go like, well, you know, style of the time. We gave them their due. We don't have to recognize them again. And I think they would lean more on something that was a better movie, perhaps. I say having not seen Spotlight, to be honest.
I have only heard things about Spotlight, so I don't have anything negative to say about it. Although I will say I've seen other movies from that year that I probably have stronger opinions about. But I don't know, for a Super Oscar, there's nothing in this that I want to set on fire except for Birdman. I don't know how I would rank movies that I didn't see, but just going off of the logic of what I did see from this, I do love Everything Everywhere All at Once, but I recognize there's a certain amount of import that we place on the Best Picture stuff. So if it's going to go for Super Oscars, do we also place that amount of like seriousness on this as well, or do we award also these quirkier things like Shape of Water or everything or all at once?
I think we're entitled to make this more an assessment of whether or not the movie was really the best movie, like not not necessarily if, you know, there was bravery involved or if there was, you know, a very personal story for one of the actors or something involved. I think we're just talking about movies as movies. Like, you know, Oppenheimer had a giant cast and was potentially culturally relevant. But I don't think it's, again, I haven't seen it. I don't think it's going to be the best movie out of all of these, but that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with this is since like I gave in our little warning there in the preamble, we don't have the knowledge to really make this decision decisively.
Although to be fair, additionally from your preamble, neither did the people who vote on the Best Picture winners.
Absolutely. So we're just like a couple of schmucks.
I've seen one, two, three, four, 5 out of the 10 movies. And I think that is more than enough to make an adequate informed decision.
Yeah. I would say out of all of these, the one that emotionally still sticks with me the strongest that I've seen would be Moonlight. But that is the caveat of like, I haven't seen everything, so I can't speak to the rest. But I will say for this, for our purposes of this podcast, Moonlight is my select for the Super Oscars.
That's your movie in this past 10 that, if you had to watch one of these movies again, that would be kind of the one you would go to, or the one that you would feel best about watching again.
No, it makes me feel terrible, Dan.
Oh, but it makes you feel terrible in a way that...
In a really important way.
In an important way. You feel terrible. Okay, I understand that feeling. Yeah. I understand that.
Best Picture winners are not always feel-good movies.
No, I agree. I mean, I felt the same way about Moonlight. It made me feel bad, but in an important way, and I agree that it should have won, so that was good.
Remember the kerfuffle over La La Land versus Moonlight?
Yeah.
What a time that we experienced that.
I mean, they danced with that fire again this year by getting that loose cannon Al Pacino up there with his loose tie and disheveled hair to read the winner.
I heard some conjecture he might have had a couple drinks.
I think that's just kind of his vibe, to be honest. Oh. He's just kind of wandering around doing that, being that guy. But it's possible. Mm. He could have been celebrating. It's Hollywood's biggest night, as they say.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to stick with Moonlight for me. But what's your pick for Super Oscars?
We probably should have had a third person on this episode as like a tiebreaker, but just would have picked a different movie.
Yeah, I was going to say third movie. We have to really get a statistically important number of people in order to do this. We could ask our audience to somehow, we'd have to devise Google Forms and things of that nature.
I mean, we could just do some Mastodon
poll.
Polls, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I don't know what the longest we can set a poll for, but we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
So my current select is Moonlight. Your current select is?
My current select is Parasite. I spoiled this one by actually tweeting it sort of as a joke.
Yeah.
But in terms of the movies that I look back on this and I go, that was both a good movie, had like a little bit of, it had a little bit of that like, cultural cachet. There was some, it was 2020. We had some classism to discuss. We had some art as filmmakers in there. There was some good VFX work for us to kind of take a look at. It was a good movie. It was an entertaining movie. It was a weird movie. You felt bad in places. It was kind of cool in some other places, but it was just like, it was a wild ride. And I think it was very well done. So Parasite was my pick. Everything Everywhere All at Once is close. But I don't know, for some reason it's a little too. I don't know how that's a criticism. I was gonna say it's a little too like messy and DIY, but like that's not a bad thing. They won Best Picture in spite of all that.
It's one of the perks of it. I mean, I really like Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I know it's one of the more recent films on here, but I think that's gonna stick with me for longer than some of these others.
I think maybe it was just that there's a message in all of these movies in addition to the film itself. And I think the one within that one was a little bit muddier for me personally than the rest of, or maybe it wasn't muddier. It was just a little more generic, a little less specific, the difficulty with the relationship and the estranged daughter kind of stuff. And like, you gotta pull her back from the brink of ruining everything. Like, it wasn't the most interesting subtext to all of the very interesting visual things that were happening.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's still a great movie. That's probably like my number two on the list, maybe.
Yeah, I think Parasite's my number two.
I mean, you already went out for Everything Everywhere in addition to Moonlight, so I would have thought that would be your number two, but I'm not going to try and.
Yeah, I guess Everything Everywhere All at Once is my number two, and then Parasite is my number three.
Fair.
Okay. But none of this matters, because that won't be how the poll is structured. You just pick once. But that, I think, is pretty easy to wrap our heads around, because we didn't see the rest. So it makes it very easy.
And don't get me wrong, I'm interested in seeing Oppenheimer because the cast is like insane, and mm-hmm. it seems like a subject matter that might be entertaining enough. I do continue to find Chris Nolan kind of insufferable, and this movie is what, like 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There's a thing where I have to be in the mood for something to even be receptive to it. And I have not been in an Oppenheimer mood. So I am not receptive to Oppenheimer. So I know if I forced myself to watch it, that I would be unhappy with it. And I don't want to see the movie under those conditions. So I'm just going to let it hang out there until such a time as I come across it and it is fine. But sometimes they never, you know, I never wind up coming across it again. Like I have no desire to go back and watch all of these Best Picture winners. Like I don't want to watch Green Book. I don't want to watch.
You don't want to watch Viggo Mortensen and just going around the South and going, what are you talking about? There's racism down here.
Boy. It's not something that is specifically something I'm interested in. But having said that, we should move on to our next thing, which is what we should do for 10 years ago. Now, 10 years ago from the Oscars that just happened would be the 2013 year, which would be 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, The Wolf of Wall Street. However, if we're doing it for next year, it would be Birdman, American Sniper, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the year you want to do?
I feel like
you feel compelled to stick it to Birdman.
I there's nothing I want to do more, Dan, than stick it to Birdman. I have no strong feelings one way or the other about 12 Years a Slave because I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. I have very strong feelings about Birdman because F it. It's a bad movie. Should never have won. So by the rules that I set forward here of like whether or not the Academy gets to confirm or pick another one based on the other nominees inside that pool, I would have to pick from the ones that I saw because I didn't see all of these. And the ones that I saw in this category were none. I didn't see Whiplash. I did not see The Theory of Everything. I did not see Selma. I did not see Imitation Game. I did not see Grand Budapest Hotel. I did not see Boyhood. I did not see American Sniper. It's very difficult for me to pick something from that category.
Wow.
Yeah. So you go first.
Wow. So I have seen Whiplash several times. I made a very good tweet out of it with some Blink-182, which I regret that I can't share because screw Twitter. Grand Budapest Hotel I've seen many times. I've seen part of The Imitation Game, mostly on TikTok. I've also seen part of American Sniper, mostly through TikTok. I have seen some of Theory of Everything, probably on TV, and none of Boyhood and none of Selma. So I'm gonna go backwards here. I think I gave the thumbs up to Birdman back then because whatever. I saw what they were trying to do. I approved of it. I have not thought about that movie for more than, you know, 4 seconds since this won Best Picture. So we're gonna let Birdman go. I am not going to confirm its Best Picture win. The Imitation Game, whatever, it's fine. People in World War II getting really excited to solve mysteries and stuff. Whatever. American Sniper. I will try not to be too rude, but it's Bradley Cooper and Clint Eastwood. Two people who I think are extremely overrated and I would throw in a trash can. Sorry, guys.
I think that's what the Academy said this year when Bradley Cooper's movie won 0 things.
Maestro.
Yeah.
They said, sir, I don't know what you've done to your face, but we disapprove. Apologies.
Also, we think it's racist. But
Theory of Everything, I don't know. I think it's probably more interesting than it would appear, but I don't know that it really holds my attention. I adore the Grand Budapest Hotel, and Whiplash is one of those movies which is a very good movie. But never will I get out of my mind, because I can't forget things on the internet and tweets. My close personal friend and boss, Adam Lissagor, immediately reviled the film because it centers around the idea that to be great in music, there has to be, you know, like anger and suffering and sort of like borderline violence at the behest of your teacher for you to really buckle down and become the greatest musician that you could possibly be. And he rejects that idea wholesale. And who am I to disagree with that? Because I don't know how to play any music, and he knows how to play some. But I think of that in the back of my head because it's such a cliche at this point to do, you know, the tortured artist who has the, like, you know, overbearing teacher who really like beat the crap out of them, but in hindsight was like just teaching them to be their best self. I do think that is kind of a stupid thing to lean into. But I did enjoy the movie, even though there are a lot of parts of the movie that just make you feel bad. But it is a good movie. So for me, it's going to be between Whiplash and Grand Budapest Hotel. Which one is the better movie versus, I mean, I enjoy Grand Budapest Hotel, like, just way more. The acting, the Wes Anderson-ness of it is the perfect amount of Wes Anderson-ness. It's just very fun. It's very good. It even has like a nice emotionally resonant story, but of course it's buried in 15 layers of pink and pastel. So like whether or not it actually hits you, questionable. Whiplash does not miss you. It is satisfying. You get that emotional payoff there. So, and then on the other side, like I just, you know, I would love to see Wes Anderson win a Best Picture award, because that would be absurd, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna help you out here.
Yeah, help me.
Like I said, haven't seen any of these. But Stu Mashwitz, who saw our exchange on Mastodon, said that he would go with Whiplash over Birdman. But I hear what you're saying, Dan, or I hear what you're saying that Adam said.
Yeah.
And so
the other thing to keep in mind here is like, who's voting on this? Because if it's the Academy,
oh yeah,
and Whiplash is made by La La Land guy, he's already a little bit of a darling, and Wes Anderson is still a little bit of an outsider, no matter how much we love him.
But at the same time, more people are going to still think fondly of the Grand Budapest Hotel later on than people are thinking about Whiplash. When was the last time you heard somebody talk about Whiplash?
That's a good point. I mean, if they're both here's my methodology. If they're both on HBO, as I'm scrolling through my little DirecTV guide, because I don't have DirecTV anymore, but if I see one's on HBO East and one's on HBO West, which one am I going to click on? It's going to be Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to sort of use the same rubric you're using, and I'm going to say, if I was presented with these movies and it was just like, these are your options, I would pick the Grand Budapest Hotel. And as we've discussed, I have quite an aversion to Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
However, after having recently watched Asteroid City, I am amenable.
You're Wes Anderson curious. You're willing to expand your view of him just a little bit to take in a little bit more and see how it is.
Yeah, and I think that the Grand Budapest Hotel is the one movie that I've heard the most clear, consistent praise of. I would say even more so than his earlier work, where I feel like that still is kind of polarized.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, like we said, according to these rules, like, I haven't seen these. And so I'm picking the Grand Budapest Hotel just because F Birdman. that's my rule, for why I picked it. And I should say it's called Birdman or parentheses, The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, close parentheses. That is the title of this movie, that we are rebuking, here. And I feel much better having rebuked it. I rebuke you, Alexander Iñárritu.
Say it loud so they can hear it in the back. I think, you know, if I have any hesitation, It's really just because J.K. Simmons absolutely crushed that movie, Whiplash.
Yeah, but that would be the best actor.
Yeah.
And he did win best actor for that, didn't he?
Good question. I am going to check, and I have to back up, best actor nominees 2015. Oh, Eddie Redmayne won.
What?
Wow.
Wow. Okay, screw that.
I think we might have to what are we calling this? We're not calling it the Whoopsies. We're calling it Mulligans. The Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, we award every award to Carey Mulligan.
Yeah. If no satisfactory winner can be determined between the two of us, the winner becomes Carey Mulligan.
And I am going to agree with you 100%. Again, I have not seen the movie that Eddie Redmayne was in. I have not seen Whiplash with J.K. Simmons in it. But I will just say, I am going to give that to J.K. Simmons for Whiplash. And I mean that in the nicest way possible, as someone who has absolutely no knowledge about voting on this.
Yeah. I mean, despite the fact that Michael Keaton really, really Michael Keatoned himself in Birdman, like separate from the movie, J.K. Simmons did a great job. I mean, he's still very J.K. Simmons, but he's dialed in that movie. So it's worth seeing Whiplash if you get a chance. You know, maybe on your return flight, you can watch Whiplash after you've watched Grand Budapest Hotel. But yeah, I think I got to go Grand Budapest. It's just, there's a lot of fun to be had in Grand Budapest. And Whiplash is a good movie, but it's not particularly fun. I'm breaking my own criteria here because I don't know that Parasite is particularly fun. Neither is Moonlight or what was our other? Everything Everywhere is pretty fun. But
yeah, extremely.
I guess you can't have fun for a Super Oscar, but you can have some fun as a revisionist Mulligan.
Mm-hmm. For the revenge Oscars.
The revenge. Is that a double negative to call it a revisionist Mulligan?
No, I mean, we could. You said the Oopsie Daisies?
The Whoopsies.
Yeah, then I said for your reconsideration.
For your reconsideration is really the best name.
Yeah, I just that's my thing. It's like I don't know. It's just like I feel like the amount that we have lauded some of these winners at the time they won has not translated into anything regarding the worth of the picture. Yeah. Or how much we remember or even want to revisit it. And I would say that also has an impact on whether or not anyone else around you wants to have anything to do with these winners.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. But
I mean, the question is going to be, once we get these new award shows instated into the Academy's, yearly slate of activities, how then do we go about recovering the decades worth of development money that was wasted on these winners that shouldn't have had it?
Well,
maybe that can be like, just like donated to the national debt or something. Like we can bring everyone's taxes down a little bit.
I don't think that is within the Academy's power. I think the Academy that like by changing this kind of awards status, and I imagine, like we said earlier, the Academy would never want to be seen every decade taking away, it's not every decade, but taking away an award from 10 years ago. Anyway, whatever.
I mean, they would have to phrase it as some sort of like, not necessarily lifetime achievement award, but it would have to be like a decade, like cultural impact award, the movie from 10 years ago that made the most impact, since then.
Yeah, and I think cultural impact is probably the right way to phrase this because it is largely about your memory of something. And like we said, we have no memory of these. But it is contingent upon whether or not you even want that winner to exist still. And I want to annihilate Birdman from existence. And that
sounds
is,
like I can watch it on Hulu.
Yeah, oh, good. Go for it, Dan. Knock yourself out.
It's 2 hours long.
I heard it was all one cut. clever push-ins and wipes.
Clever wipes and editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. wasn't allowed to submit for VFX or anything because we don't want to give up the gimmick.
Were they really not allowed, or did they just decide not to?
I don't know if they were explicitly forbidden from doing it, but they only talked about it after the Oscars. I thought that that seemed extremely fishy, because why wouldn't you talk about it before then? The conversation that had been occurring before then, because remember also that year, I might be wrong about this, so I should probably go check, but the cinematography award went to
Chivo, his dude.
Yeah, yeah. And if he had talked about the fact that it was not a movie that was one cut, or pretended like it wasn't a movie that was one cut, perhaps we would have a different cinematography award winner for that category.
What the hell is this? You joked about, you know, look how well those two movies in a row worked out for him. Mm-hmm. His IMDb kind of reads like it's in reverse. Like, he won Best Picture 2 years in a row, and then the next things on his IMDb are a music video, a short film, something just categorized as video, which I think is just like a Nike promotional video, and then Bardo, False Chronicle of a Handful of Truths in 2022, which appears to be a movie, but that I've just never heard of. Oh, it's a documentary?
Well, things are going well for him.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess justice has occurred, because I never have to watch anything he does again. And that's the good news.
It's odd. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there are people who don't necessarily pan out after winning an Oscar, but it's not usually immediately thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that we still hold grudges against Iñárritu for his bad-mouthing of VFX and things.
I mean...
We do.
People might think we're overreacting, but go back and listen to our episode about Birdman, because...
This is Hollywood, baby. It's built on grudges.
Oh, yeah. Like, everybody, like, so-and-so cut in front of me at a line in the party at the after show or
therefore,
whatever.
He does not win Best Picture.
Yeah, exactly.
He does not get a puppy.
No puppies. I have very strong feelings against Alejandro.
You feel so dumb when he like lets you cut in line at like TSA or something. And you'd be like, this guy's kind of nice.
I would feel that way if that happened. I highly doubt that that scenario will unfold ever. So I don't feel like
I would stare him down and then like, you know, again, you know, like, mm-hmm. like high school, like make a fist and do a little flinch thing to see if he like backs up.
that was never really my jam for attracting other people. I think it's worth probably mentioning just quickly before we wrap this, Stu's other picks, because he actually went into the other years.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't really have, like we said already, super strong feelings about things, but for 2012 he picked Moneyball over The Artist, and then he's,
who remembers that The Artist won?
I don't remember The Artist. And then he says Midnight in Paris is disqualified in my academy, which is important to note, I guess. Then there's
Woody Allen, right?
Yeah, that's the Woody Allen one.
Yeah.
And then there's 2013, Lincoln over Argo, 2015, Whiplash over Birdman, 2016, Mad Max Fury Road could beat any of the above
for that year. I have to look at 2016 real quick just to see. The Revenant, The Big Short, The Martian, Bridge of Spies, Spotlight?
Uh-huh. Spotlight's the winner.
I was like, didn't we just talk about Spotlight? And that was the Super Oscars. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank God The Revenant didn't win Best Picture. Wait, I thought it did. No, we just celebrated that it didn't, I guess, if I remember.
Right. It won other things.
Hmm.
He was like, oh, you know, it was all practical. I like half drowned somebody in an ice river because it was so important to me to be practical. And then we watched all the VFX of how that happened afterwards. So he was...
I don't know. I mean, I am the lone dissenter mm-hmm. on Mad Max Fury Road being one of the greatest movies of all time. It was fine. I liked what they did, but I'm not going to shout it from the hilltop like other folks do.
Dan, I I'm shaking your hand across the internet because we are the dual dissenters.
Fight us, internet.
Yeah, I mean,
fight us, you, Todd.
And people can go back to listen to our episode about Mad Max Fury Road because we happened to do it that year. But I don't know. That was the year that we also did all the, because we did the ones that were up for VFX awards. So we did talk about Mad Max. We did talk about The Martian. And I forget if we talked about The Revenant, but we might have talked about it because I saw it in the movie theater with Rye.
I think we did. I think the thing I said is if you watch it on a small screen, you can watch where all the wipes are and all the all the unbroken scenes.
All the jiggly blades that they did a replacement on. But the, I don't know. I have no strong, and when everybody's like freaking out about the new trailer for Furiosa, I'm just like, it seems okay, I guess. Like,
it's cool, stuff. I guess, but I don't know if it's like the best picture. See, and this is why the Super Oscars need to exist, because this year has a lot of pretty good movies, but I don't know that one like really sticks out over the others. Like The Big Short has a lot of entertaining parts to it, especially, you know, remember Gosling in there doing his weird, you know, coked up Wall Street dude.
Wasn't that Matthew McConaughey?
The Big Short?
Yeah.
The Big Short is am I conflating movies? No, this is Christian Bale, Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Brad Pitt. Housing Crisis.
Yeah. But I thought Matthew McConaughey was the one that he sits across the table out from and he's like very cooked out for the lunch that they're having.
Oh, anyway. No, you're thinking of Wolf of Wall Street, my friend.
Oh. Interesting that I thought about that because I haven't seen the movie. But you should. Okay. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have it in me to like go at it for anything that I don't have any hard feelings one way or the other towards. Like if I didn't see it and I don't dislike it, then whatever. Like Coda can win because I don't care. Nomadland can win because I don't care.
I mean, embarrassingly, if we went by the movie this year that I've seen the most, it would be The Martian, but I couldn't possibly give Best Picture to The Martian.
Why did you watch? Did you not have anything else to watch?
It's on so much, and there's a lot of, like, you know, entertaining procedural nonsense.
Dan, the book is so much better than that movie.
I don't read books. Come on.
Oh, I know. But strap your VR goggles on and read a book.
Touch some paper with your hands.
Yeah, and the ebook, Dan. Give the program. Anyway, so I read the book and then I saw the movie in that order, and
you were disappointed.
Because the book is funnier than the movie is, and it's funny because the movie won a Golden Globe for Best Comedy, which is another thing we could do is our. Whatever we decide to do for your reconsideration for the Golden Globes, because God knows it deserves it. But
nobody takes the Golden Globes serious enough that you need to revise them.
No, but I mean, now supposedly they've straightened up. They're you know, reformed. They've changed the error of their ways. I guess.
Okay.
I don't believe them. But yeah, that's it. Stuff. We're done.
Well, I look forward to continuing the discussion of the Super Oscars and it becoming a real thing. And you know, maybe for funsies we'll do some more for your reconsiderations, because I think it's worth looking back and correcting the mistakes of the past. You know, that's the only way we learn, is by admitting our mistakes and moving forward.
Yeah.
As a society.
And one of those mistakes is not having seen any of the films.
Well, you know, I mean, what else does it say about these movies if you haven't seen them in 10 years?
Yeah, that's true. I was never compelled to watch Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. So,
well, I saw that one, and I'm not really compelled to see it either.
And were you compelled to watch The Post?
The Post. Which one was that? That was another like Spotlight Spielberg. Newsroomy thing, right?
Yeah, that was Spielberg. Meryl Streep. They're doing the Washington Post.
Look, if Meryl Streep's not talking about fancy clothes and being mean to some of the ladies who work for it, no, I'm not going to watch that movie. Anyway,
all right.
I like this concept. People, take it, run with it, spread the word, the Super Oscars and the For Your Reconsiderations. These are two new things that we are going to include in our society going forward. So watch your backs, Academy. You will be held accountable for your actions.
Yeah, watch your back, Todd.
Yeah, Todd. Do we know any other Academy members other than Todd?
No.
This entire episode is just delivered directly to Todd.
Todd, how dare you?
We're not even going to release this. We're just going to send it directly to Todd.
Yeah, how dare you award Birdman is the whole gist of this podcast.
We lay the decision to give Birdman Best Picture at Todd's feet, and we blame him for it.
Solely him.
Yeah.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.